Good morning. Welcome to Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is May 31st, 2024, and today we're reading in the Big Book, There's a Solution, page 22, that fourth paragraph, and we're starting with, we know that while alcohol keeps away from drink, and it ends with any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. Okay, today's readers. We have Tenzin P for the steps, Julie B for the traditions. Reading the text is Loretta H. Amory M is going to read page 164. Our backup readers, Susan SH. Newcomer greeters, Kathleen W. Second hour host is Christine G. And Nancy C will be taking care of announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, May 30th, 2024, Thursday, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,447, 21,447. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,448, 21,448. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And Tenzin P is going to read the 12 steps for us.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the 12 steps, which we took as a suggested program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Julie B. with the traditions.
Thank you, Russ. Julie B. from Ohio, recovering compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of OA. Number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'm Julie B., and I pass.
Thanks, Julie B. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. And that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study, and there's a solution. We're on page 22, the fourth paragraph, and it starts with, we know that while the alcohol keeps away from drink, and then it ends with any alcohol will abundantly confirm this. And Loretta H. is going to start us off with the reading.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away from drink, as he may do so for months or years, he reacts much like other men. We are equally positive that once he takes the alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens, both bodily and mental sense, which makes it virtually impossible to stop. This is the experience of any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. This is me in a nutshell. In disease, and I am nuts when I'm in disease. This is me if I do not have that psychic change, that mental blank spot. Today, and I looked up the word positive because I'm positively a compulsive overeater and an anorexic, okay, consisting in characterized by the presence of possessions of features or qualities rather than their absence. So I can't be abstinent unless I know for sure that I'm a real compulsive overeater and a real alcoholic. And that mental blank spot, as it talks about in the doctor's opinion, after we have succumb to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging more so with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over unless this person can experience an entire psychic change. There's little hope for their recovery. And if I don't, and my disease really is triggered by my anorexia, I don't get the high off of the bite. That to me is so demoralizing. I can out-eat any compulsive overeater after I'm demoralized by taking that first bite in my anorexia. And as I've shared, that really, it's my phenomenon. It will drive me to insanity. And I still, and I'm being honest, whenever something bad happens, I go there, but I don't open that door because I have a process today, which are the 12 steps, and call my sponsor to pray immediately that I don't do that to myself, because that will open the door to my disease. And it's cunning and baffling, and this is what I think, especially this time it will be different. It will not hurt me this time if I don't eat. Or no thinking at all. This is that alcoholic ick mind. This is my obsession. And today I don't do that because I know for me I'm going to not die as an anorexic, because God didn't let me do that for 54 years. I came in at 54, I'm 77 now, but he will have me die of compulsive overeating, because that is what my anorexia will do to me. So today, and I just, it's all about honesty and knowing who I am, that I still text my food after 24 years, because I must know how to eat. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Loretta, for starting us off. Also, okay, now we're going to open up to the lines for sharing. My brain went quicker than my mouth here. So although we value experience, we have to ask that you limit your share to every third day so others could get a shot to share their experience too. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. And please, if we can, while people are sharing, just let's not interrupt. So we be considerate. So there's no crosstalk or anything like that. And who would like to share on this passage here?
Wanda.
Wanda. Pete B. Pete.
Janice.
Christina J.
Jen A.
Janice.
Oh, good. Vasa
O. Christina.
Vasa O.
Yep, got
Jen
you.
Jen A.
Thank you.
Jen. Vasa O. All right, who else? That's it today.
Felicia D. from Rhode Island.
All right. Felicia D.
Cheryl L., Florida.
All right, Cheryl.
Denise O., Vermont.
Denise. Oh, okay, that's a great list. All right, Wanda, Pete, Janice, Christina, Jen, Vasa, Felicia, Cheryl, and Denise. All right, Wanda, you're up. All right, Wanda, you could share. Star one.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hey, everybody, good morning. And thanks so much, Ross. And thanks so much for the lead. Yeah. I can relate, but I know that we're all different, and but we're all the same. And I've been abstinent, and I have to stay abstinent. And I know that I am positive that I am one day safe. I have to pray in the morning ask God for help, and do the next right thing all throughout the day, make it to the night, and then go to sleep, get up, and, do the same thing. And my life changes from day to day. Every day is different. And, I am bodily and mentally, an addict, a compulsive overeater. And I definitely can't stop if I start. And my new husband is able to eat whatever he wants. It's new, new husband, but what happens is that I don't get to eat like he does, and I have to watch it and pray. I have to write down my food. I have to have a sponsor. I have to go to meetings. I have to read the literature and ask for help. And, my whole life could be out of balance if I think my, jealousy about he can eat what he wants, why can't I? I remember talking to a sponsee about that probably 25 years ago. And, now it's sort of like I'm in that boat myself. So, it's a day at a time not to feel sorry for myself, not to get mad, and not to overeat. So with that, I pass, and, I'm doing very well, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.
Thanks, Wanda. Next up is PP, followed by Janice PM.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting, Russ. Appreciate your service for getting us started. You guys both did a great job and are doing a great job. My name's PP. And I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. This paragraph, once again in our literature, it's telling us exactly where we as individuals give up our power, right? It tells us when we lose control, and we lose control whenever he takes alcohol, whatever, into his system, right? Not beforehand. Right? So if I don't put the alcohol in my system, I can't get the phenomena of craving. If I don't put the food, the substance in my system, I can't get the phenomena of craving. Right? Later on, it also tells us that we've lost the power of choice. But our book also tells us that the whole purpose of it is to enable us to find a power that's going to solve our problem. Now, look. A lot of times we'll hear people refer to this idea as food neutrality. They have food neutrality. Like that's the barometer for measuring if we're recovered or not. And, there's no promise of food neutrality. It's not in the 9-step promises. It's not in the 10-step results, or we are lovingly referred to as promises. With regard to neutrality, it says that we'll be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Right. The promises are that, I have ceased fighting everybody and everything, which means that what you think doesn't reflect how I think. We don't study this text to try to figure out how to extract certain parts of it to make it fit into my thinking. I believe we study the text so we're supposed to make our thinking coincide with what this literature says. And many of us have embraced this notion, this idea that we never have power, we never have choice, we never have control, and we don't once we take the substance into our system. But again, in those results, in those promises, it tells us that the problem, it does not exist for us as a result of having the spiritual experience. It's simply gone as a result of having the spiritual experience. This idea that, all of a sudden the food's going to leap off its plate and into my body, Well, that's just plain insanity, right? There, if that's the notion, completely contradicts with what the literature says about the condition, and also about the solution. Get placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We don't have to subscribe to this idea that I'm powerless over people, places, and things, and I'll never have any power. This book has enables us to find a power that solves the problem. I went over it, that I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Next up is Janice PM, followed by Christina J.
And thank you so much, Russ, and everyone. Oh, boy, following Pete. This is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Yeah, we know. Who are we? And who, what is this about knowing? Well, we are the recovered, compulsive overeaters, alcoholics in this book, that know. It's not an opinion. Honestly, it's not an opinion. It's my experience. It's your experience if you found a solution. So we can say, gee, you know, it's not just his opinion. I don't agree with him. How can you not agree with somebody that says they're pregnant? They're pregnant, they're pregnant. So it seems so simple to say that, you know, well, I keep away from that, you know, craving. What's the craving on certain substances? Well, I keep away. Yeah, that's the allergy. That's my allergy. As long as I don't pick up that donut or a half a donut or a taste of donut, it won't set up the allergy. It won't wake up the dog, you know, for some more, for the substance. So now when I don't do that, I react as a non-compulsive overeater. But you see, it doesn't solve my problem, which is just abstinence. And I always thought, let me get the right sponsor. Let me get the right food plan. Oh, I'm going to try, you know. But you see, my reaction to these allergic substances always resulted unpredictable. I always wanted more. I was never satisfied. It wasn't the right thing. And that someday, somehow, I'm going to find a way. And I spent a long time trying to do that. I didn't know that I had an obsession of the mind that I thought that I would find a way somehow, some way, sometime. I was always testing my control. It's so clear. I'll do it this way. I won't do it that way. I'll make sure that I'm in good, my thinking is good about this. But I could never control the obsession in my mind. So Bill is trying to say, you know, it's not, I don't just have a physical problem. I have a spiritual malady. This is where that spiritual, of course, everything is spiritual with me when we find that power through these steps. Because now the obsession in my mind is controlled, not by me, but by a higher power. Because I couldn't control the obsession. Oh, I'm going to do this. My mind, I am going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Didn't work for me. Did you say time for Russ?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So that's the time. So abstinence is physical, but, you know, recovery, which is a spiritual malady, is the illness of the mind. And that's what it's all about. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. Next up is Christina J, followed by Jen A.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Christina J in North Carolina. We know while the alcoholic keeps away from drink, he may do so for many months or years. He reacts much like other men. Not me. Diets. All the diets I was white knuckling. I could sit with other people and eat normal and feel great that I was on my diet, but I was effing white knuckling. I have a deeply formed groove, emotional and psychological, of relapse. I've never been clean my whole life. I've been an addict since I was born. Why? I learned from this book because I have an allergy of the body. And when I pick up those foods, and my mother, you know, we had foods that we had to get from welfare and this and that, and they're loaded with sugar and white flour and things that spiked my allergy. I was always in my allergy. So I have this deeply grooved emotional and psychological patterns. I also have a body that has physiological reactions when I'm tired, right? I want to eat. I want to eat for every reason. That was my whole thing. I did many experiments. I know what relapse is about. I've tasted every form of the shame and guilt and crawling back and getting sick and promising and all that kind of stuff. And day before yesterday, there was a bag that came into the office from the Chamber of Commerce welcoming my company to the Chamber of Commerce. And what was in it? One little round piece of beautifully wrapped chocolate. That wouldn't ever be enough for me. I have learned that through my relapses. I was able to take that thing out and throw it away. Threw it away. It's not mine. I cannot have that. I have learned that. It took me a long time to learn that. Even though I've talked on this line many times, I can't take the first bite, blah, blah, blah. I have these formed patterns that over my time in program, I've learned to watch for those. And what do I do with these emotional, psychological patterns that drive me back to the bite, which drive me into relapse and take me to hell? I have this 12-step program. This is all I have. Nothing else has ever worked for me. I've been in many, many spiritual circles, many, many, all kinds of this therapy, that therapy, the other therapy, tried this diet, this drug, this, that, this, the other. What is healing for me is to unleash and let go of the things that have kept me bound in my soul. And this program helps me to do that. You think, oh, great spiritual programs would do that. No, because they don't give me a program of action. I have to take action for these things to work. And it's hard getting clean. And that's really hard. And it says it makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. It is hard to come back. When I first joined, any diet I first joined, I have the pink cloud experience. And I'm floating along, and then life comes along, and all those emotional and psychological deeply grooved patterns, I'll finish up with this, start to run, and I think, okay, yesterday I called my sponsor because I was tired and I wanted to eat. I have a plan of action, and that's a physiological reaction. I can call her and oust the voice, oust the disease. Thank you for letting me share. Sorry, I went over. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Jen A., followed by Vasa O.
Hey. Hi, Russ. Good morning. Good to hear you. This is Jen A. I'm out in Colorado. Recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Thanks for saving a girl like me. Super emotional week. 7 years for me in the program of recovery. And I'm just so grateful for what God is doing in and through me in my life. You know, the food is beautiful. And so I just wanted to share my experience because it ends here. The experience of any alcoholic or compulsive overeater will abundantly confirm this. Confirm what? That I'm bodily and mentally different. You know, the disease manifests differently in all of us. And so what I appreciate about the lead speaker and everybody who I've heard share today is that, you know, some of us compulsively overeat. Some of us restrict. Some of us binge and restrict. Some of us overexercise. We're all different and it manifests differently. But we all know one thing, that once I take a bite, you know, it starts the phenomenon of craving. And I wanted to share my experience because for me, when I came in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, it wasn't the first bite and it wasn't immediate. I sat in the rooms for 11 months and thought I was eating healthy, and continued to go to meetings and listen to what was said and hear the literature that was being read and do what people were telling me to do. But I was still ingesting small, minute amounts and ingredients of substances. Those substances eventually triggered the phenomenon of craving.
Not the first day I ate a tablespoon here, a tablespoon there, but it was the buildup of those ingredients in my body that over time led me out to that binge. So that phenomenon of craving was building in my body. You know, I had had a circumstance in my life happen, and I was emotionally a wreck. And it didn't happen that week that, you know, he broke up with me, I lost my job, Nope, it happened months later. And I don't understand the why behind it, and I don't have to figure it out. But when I was able to get really clear and really serious about what it was that was triggering me and what the allergy was, I could actually lay it down. And I will tell you, I hadn't eaten white flour, white sugar when I came to this club. And everybody said it's the white flour, white sugar club, no flour, no sugar. Well, for me, I was eating maple syrup. I was eating agave. I was eating almond flour, coconut flour, anything that was healthy that you can find at Whole Foods, I was eating it. And it still triggered the phenomenon of craving for me. So I finally ended up in a convenience store binging on donuts and Twinkies and ice cream and all that kind of stuff that I went back to. And my time is almost up, but I will just say this, that if anything, all I have to remember is the first match that strikes, that's what's going to start the forest fire. And I don't know when the fire is going to start, but today I don't pick up any of those substances. And by God's grace and mercy, I do. I'm safe and protected. And I'm so grateful that my life is forever changed. Thank you, Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you for this program that saved my life. And thank you for all of you who have been in my tribe the last 7 years, loving me and supporting me along the way. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jen. Congrats. Keep it rolling. So before Vasa jumps on here, let me remind you where you're at. That's what I'm getting at. All right. There's a solution. Page 22, the fourth paragraph. While the alcohol keeps away from drink, ending with any alcohol will abundantly confirm this. All right, Vasa, you're up.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Wow. And I'm so grateful for this big book. I remember once my sponsor gave it to me. I said, don't give me this book. I'm not an alcoholic, you know. She said, well, stretch alcohol and just put food on the top. Yeah, I had the gift of desperation. I didn't see it as a gift at that time. I felt like it's a punishment. How am I going to give up the sugar products for the rest of my life that I depended and I loved? And I liked the feeling of it, the effects of them. But anyways, my sponsor said, we do this only one day at a time, one meal at a time. And by the time I came to OA, I could not even put one meal at a time from breakfast to lunch. And she said, we need to find a power greater than ourselves to help us with this food addiction. And I said, I was ready and I will do whatever it takes. I had no clue that food was a drug or addiction. I didn't know anything about the allergy of the body that I was putting, the toxic things I was putting in my body that set up the craving. I had no clue. So I was ready to give up my power to a greater power than myself, because I tried to do that for 25 years of my life before I came to OA. And I, you know, all the diets and all the overeating, I practiced anorexia, I practiced a little bulimia, exercising, to control the food addiction, and nothing worked. And there's we read there's few levels of food addictions, and I was the one of the extreme, and I was just so powerless, and I could not, if they took my children away from me, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And I'm just so grateful that I did become abstinent, and I became abstinent from the first night I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I was terrified. I was so afraid. I didn't think I was going to live till I was 50 years old, and I was 42 years old when I came in the program. And I was terrified. I said I had a child that was 3 years old, and I had my other two older children from the same father. And I said, they're going to grow up with no mother, or I'd be sick and suffering all these years. So I've decided, no, I'm going to stay in the program, and I'll practice the 12 steps and do whatever they tell me to do. And I don't want to go into relapse. I don't want to go back there. And life is not that easy being abstinent. Believe me, I've gone through so many difficult times, but this is life. I'm not the only one that goes through it. Thank you. Everybody goes through it. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Next up is Felicia D., followed by Cheryl L.
Hi, this is Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Thank you so much. When I look at the book and it says in here, he reacts much like other men. You know, I guess in a way it sounds like that's a good thing, but when I look at the way that people around me that don't have this disease are acting, a lot of the times it's not really spiritually. So that's not so much a goal for me. I want what this program has to offer, which for me, you know, will save me from the bedevilments. I lost 100 pounds kind of with abstinence as my idol and not really getting, even though I was doing the steps to the best of my ability was clouded and I wasn't getting the spiritual relief. And I lived every day in fear and anxiety and stress and trying to figure things out and resentment and so much self-pity and just so much bondage of self that I decided to go through the steps again and I'm having a different experience. And this time, you know, I did not believe that a higher power could remove the fear. It just ruled my life from as early back as I remember. I just didn't think that a power could do that. And I didn't even know that I was limited because I had the limited belief. This program is just miraculous. I'm 110 pounds down at this point, but more so like I'm working this rigorous program that my sponsor works. And by being so busy working it, my brain doesn't have the capacity to overthink like it used to. And I get relief from myself. And then I have these character defects that I'm seeing for the first time, you know, and for how these defects were manifesting themselves to always bring me back to food. And in 6 and 7, how I always go back to food because I can't live in agreement with myself because these defects kick my butt. And I created ideals and how to act. I would not have believed that I could act differently. But today, or 2 days ago, my husband, in my opinion, was wrong about something. And for the first time, I had relief from the bondage of telling him why he was wrong. And miraculously, we had a much better night than we do when I feel compelled to tell him that he's wrong. And my daughter deserves to live without me being restless, irritable, discontent, without me yelling and being a lunatic. And the only chance that I have is by trying to work this program. I'm so profoundly grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you. I pass.
All right. Thank you, Felicia. Next up is Cheryl L., followed by Denise L.
Can I ask, was that Lisa B. who just spoke?
No, that was Felicia D.
Felicia?
Yep.
Felicia
B. in Rhode Island. No, D as in dog, Felicia with an F, and I'm in Rhode Island.
Okay, next up is Cheryl L. Star one, Cheryl. All right, look, we'll jump to Denise O and then come back to Cheryl. Denise, you're up.
Hi, this is Denise O in Vermont. And thank you, Russ, for your service and everybody else today. I wanted to share because this paragraph, I think, is one of those amazing ones. where if I turn we into me and I, it speaks to me even more deeply. And how I do that is I turn it into, I know that while I keep away from alcoholic foods, as I may do for months or years, I react much like others. I'm equally positive that once I take any alcoholic foods, whatever, into my system, something happens, both in the bodily and mental sense, which makes it firstly impossible for me to stop. The experience of any compulsive overeater will abundantly confirm this. And when I do that, I understand the paragraph even more deeply. And I underline the word at the end, abundantly, because what that says to me is that our experience, my experience, is that I've done this over and over and over again, which I certainly have. I first walked into the OA rooms back in 1994, and had really no idea about the Big Book, really until a friend of mine told me about this meeting back in 2014. And so I feel like I've had abundant experience as far as, you know, what this paragraph talks about, you know, putting down the food, then picking it up. So I've definitely had abundant experience to confirm this. And that brings me to where I am today, which is also why I wanted to share. I'm at a place of, well, struggling with the idea of weighing and measuring my food, because I've done that in the past and had some negative experiences with it. So that's kind of where I'm at today. I'm not abstinent. I don't have a sponsor, because that's the one thing that is stopping me from fully embracing this program, is the idea of weighing and measuring my food again. So if there's anybody out there that has any other suggestions for me or suggestions about that, my name is in the list on A Vision for You, Denise O in Vermont, and I appreciate being listened to. Thank you so much. A pass.
All right. Thank you, Denise. Cheryl L., you're up.
Hi. Hi, good morning. I'm Cheryl L. from Florida. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone, for the shares this morning, and I really can relate to the shares. I can relate to the reading. You know, I don't react like other people ever, and I thought for a long, long time that if I could just get, you know, control of the food, before that was control of other substances, that I was going to be okay. You know, and I really did that, you know, for I was in program from 2012 until 2017, 2018, and my food was under control. But my problem was the spiritual aspect of this, and I didn't turn my will over to a higher power. I turned my will over to following, you know, a food plan. I turned my will over to, you know, doing the stuff that was suggested to me, but still thinking that I was the one who was running the show. And that ended me back in relapse for 4 years. And all during that 4 years, all I kept trying to do was, again, get control of the food and get control of my life. And it wasn't until 2022 that I really came back to this program. And I came back with a willingness to, you know, to try something different. And I have to say that, you know, even in these past 6 months or so, you know, my connection to my higher power is starting to increase, and I'm starting to become more willing to follow my higher power's instructions rather than my own, or even something that's written down, you know, in a food plan. I do all of that stuff. I still write a food plan down every day, and I commit it to myself and to my higher power. You know, I do the step work because that's a really important part for it's the answer to my mental twist. When I sit down to do my nightly review, I can take a look at my day and I can see where I've been selfish, dishonest, afraid, and I can you know, make some corrective measures there. But the bottom line is that in all things, I must turn to my higher power because my higher power is the one who has all of the answers. And so that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Cheryl. All right. I think we're going to be able to take three more the way it looks. So, or four. I'm sorry, four more. Should be good. All right, who would like to share?
Penny E. from South Jersey.
So I heard Penny.
And Chris G.
Chris G.
Amy G.
Amy. There's a male voice there.
Justin C.
All right, there we go. Justin C.
John S.
So, John, I think we're going to have to hold off for the next meeting. We got Penny E., Chris G., Amy G., Justin C. All right, Penny, you're up.
Okay, thank you so much, Russ. Good morning, everybody. My name is Penny E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I keep thinking about this. This is not Sugar Anonymous. This is not Flour Anonymous. This is not Binge Food Anonymous. I work a program of Overeaters Anonymous. And one of the things that I have to be really, really careful of, and I've been recovered a long time, 35 years. I'm 75 years old. I've been doing it a long time, a lot of research, maintaining over 100-pound weight loss. You know, I've been doing it. But one of the things I have to be really careful of, oh, that's my microwave. I'm so sorry. One of the things I have to be very careful of is that it's Overeaters Anonymous. What do I do to not overeat? Overeating, taking an extra string bean for me, this is for me, taking an extra string bean or an extra bite of my apple or whatever can do the same thing. We are equally positive that once he takes any alcohol, any compulsive overeating, whatever into his system, something happens. So for me, I weigh and measure all my food as if my life depended on it, even after all these years. I want to die abstinent. My life is great, you know, and I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to mess with it. So, yes, I recoil as if from a hot flame from all those foods that I used to binge on, but I also recoil as if from a hot flame from overeating anything, so even weighed and measured food. So I love you all. Have a blessed day. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Penny. Appreciate it. Next up is Chris G, followed by Amy G. And I think I have my time off, but you might be able to get
thank
everybody.
You.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me speak. And my name is Chris G, and I live in Tennessee. And I'm glad I can be here today. So I look at this paragraph, and that we know that while the alcoholic keeps away from drink, as he may do for months or years, he reacts much like other men. We are equally positive that once he takes any alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens, both in the bodily and mental sense, which makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. The experience of any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. So my experience, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Tennessee. But my experience is that I go to food instead of going to God in any way, shape, or form. I go to food first, and I have to go to God first, and I haven't learned how to do that yet. Go to God first. I go to people first. I go to my sister. I go to my children. I go to my boyfriend. I go to others. and I have to go to God first. And that's what I have to say today. Thank you for letting me share.
We don't hear you, Chris.
Russ,
I mean, Russ.
Okay. Sorry
about
that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
My name's Christy. Did you hear my share?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Next up is Amy G, followed by, I think if we take 2 minutes apiece, we could get everybody in.
That's fine by me, Russ. Just time me, okay?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Well, hi, everyone. My name's Amy G., a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. You know, just abundantly confirm this. You know, everyone today is abundantly, in my humble opinion, affirming what this disease is about. Physical allergy, mental obsession. We are bodily and mentally different. But like others have said, just because I'm abstinent, I can define what my abstinence is. I know what my allergic ingredients and my compulsive food behaviors. Let's remember what others have also shared and what our format shares and what OA's definition is refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. Once I understand what those are, that doesn't mean I'm restored to sanity. Like normal people. Well, yeah, I'm not behind a locked door sticking my finger down my throat in a bathroom somewhere, in a one-stall bathroom, or I'm not stealing money from people and then going and buying food at the grocery store or just stealing the food from the grocery store. Yeah, okay, that's not really normal. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I think normally. That doesn't mean that I'm still not spiritually bereft, because we talk about this spiritual malady. I'm just a dry drunk if I'm abstinent. Am I still powerless over other things in my life? Absolutely, because I still want to wrestle life to suit my satisfaction. I am self-will run riot. Have I changed over the years in recovery through the step work that has given me access to myself, to God, to others? Absolutely. But the reality is that that spiritual malady is something that I work on a daily basis. The food may be down where I am bodily okay from the physical allergy, but every day I try to work a program of 10, 11, and 12 that allows me to access God, to act in a different way where I want to be other and God-centered. That's not my nature.
God.
My nature is not sane. My nature is to want to be myself. So let me just wrap by saying, the mental issue, the spiritual malady, that is it. But unless we address the physical first, we can't even get to that. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Amy. Next up is Justin C. You got 2 minutes.
Hey, everybody. Justin C. from North Carolina. Russ, thanks for leading and everybody for being here. Yeah, and reading this paragraph, you know, keeping away from the drink for months or years, you know, I used to be able to do that when I was younger, you know, and I have dieted, as many of us have, for, you know, many, many years, and I've tried everything. And what jumped out to me here was the progression of this disease. You know, of course, I didn't know about the allergic foods, the physical reaction or any of that before, but, you know, now, I can't make it months or years. You know, the mental obsession is so strong. It takes me back to it. Sometimes I could only make it a couple of hours, you know, before I was, insanely taking that first bite again. And so, what I wrote down here is, you know, why was I dieting? Because I hated the way I felt and I wanted to change that. And I thought that if I lost weight, it would change the way I felt, you know, and I've lost plenty of pounds over the years and it never changed the way I felt. And what I love about Vision is that I hear the same thing over and over again here, that it's not about the weight. What I'm trying to do today, just for today, I am seeking a spiritual awakening. I'm seeking God. I am taking these actions that you all have suggested through these steps, through this book. And one day at a time, that's what I'm trying to do, is be in the sunlight of the spirit and not living in the shadows as I did for so many years. And I'm so grateful for the hope that I get from this meeting and from you all. And And so I'm just trying to do the deal one day at a time, and I appreciate you allowing me the chance to share. That I'll pass.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. You are our last share, and we thank everybody that shared. And everybody did service for the month of May. Without you, we all couldn't do this. We wouldn't have this meeting. So, all right. So if you want to share, wait. You can stay on a line and wait for the unrecorded meeting at 8. All right. So let's get today's share ID for you. Friday, May 31st, 2024. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,450,21450. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne Marie M. please read a vision for you? A book is meant to be suggestive only to keep you until then.
Hi, this is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Page 164. Okay, a book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.